Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore, and welcome to the first edition of the new year. My guest this evening is Thomas Hubert, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, and we've been focusing on two subjects, the Fair Deal Scheme and also a new renewable heat initiative. There's been quite a lot of talk about the Fair Deal Scheme over the last number of years. It's hugely important, and whilst it mightn't affect that many people at this very moment in time, it's something that in the years to come could affect literally thousands more people. It's a huge issue, the whole area of retirement and what happens to your land and inheritance tax and all these related matters. Where exactly are we at the moment?
So we're coming to a conclusion hopefully in the next few weeks and definitely this year, if you believe the government, on the Fair Deal Scheme itself and how it applies to the land, as you said, and the various farm properties that a family can be trying to pass on to the next generation as somebody stops and needs care in their older days. So what's happening at the moment is that the Minister of State for Older People and Mental Health, Jim Daly, has a proposal out to limit the number of years to which a charge on the farm property applies if you enter the Fair Deal Scheme. At the moment, if you go into a nursing home and you are a farmer or any other small business owner, it's the same for shops and pubs and business like that. And there will be a 7.5% charge every year on the value of your business assets, in case of a farmer, on your land, going towards the cost of your care. And that there's no time limit on that. So if you stay in a nursing home, say for 12 years, 7.5% per year, the whole value of your farm is gone and nothing left for your children or anybody else in the next generation in your family to pass on to them. And the proposal is to stop this after 3 years. So you would still contribute to your nursing home care, but the total would be around 21% of the value of your farm. And after that, you can keep the rest and pass it on to the next generation. What's happening at the moment is that Minister Daly is waiting for legal advice from the Attorney General to make sure this proposal would work in terms of all the legal technicalities. Is it not discriminatory compared to other types of businesses? Is it all right with state aid rules and EU legislation in terms of helping businesses and all that kind of stuff? So if that's cleared, there's going to be legislation introduced to make those changes.
I think it's fair to say, I mean, this is one of the biggest potential time bombs coming down the track. People are living older. Medical science is helping us live longer as well. And people are retiring earlier. Maybe not so much in the farming community. Maybe not having that luxury of retiring early from a public sector job like some people can. But whether we like it or not, you know, the cost of providing care for the elderly is quite significant. It's not uncommon to be talking about fees of 800 to 1,000, even 1,200 euro a week for somebody in a nursing home. It's an issue that has to be tackled. For a long time, it was probably kicked to touch. So at least we are seeing more attention being given to it.
There's a lot of discussion around it, and not only for the nursing home option, there are also plans at government level for more home care assistance. And, you know, not everybody needs or wants to go into a nursing home, especially in farming families. There's sometimes somebody around in the house or in the next house on the same farm. Children, nephews, nieces are around and be happy to farm and keep an eye on somebody if they could get help at home for cleaning and looking after themselves. So that's also an option that's being discussed to get more of this kind of help and fewer people into nursing home, at least not as early. Another thing you've mentioned, I suppose, planning for your pension and whether you have a pension plan or not, but even in terms of Fair Deal Scheme itself, if you pass on your farm to the next generation 5 years before needing nursing home care, even under the current rules, then your farm will not be liable to those charges. So planning ahead, you know, whether you want to stay involved and do a bit of work on the farm or not as you get older, but even making sure the title deeds are transferred and maybe a lease agreement lets you keep some access to the land or partnership it started with somebody younger to hand over over a number of years. There's loads of options that really need a bit of planning and thinking about it before you're actually too old to farm yourself and need to stop. So think ahead would be the best advice there.
Yeah, so I suppose there is an onus on people really to educate themselves about this matter and to seek advice where possible. Now, farming groups have had an input here in Donegal. The likes of Mabel Russell's been very active in this regard through the IFA. And no doubt rural TDs have come under a little bit of pressure and their views will be consulted before it all goes through the Oireachtas.
Yeah, and in fairness to the government and Jim Daly, he's been meeting with the farming organizations regularly, the IFA, as you mentioned, others as well, the ICNSA, ICFA, have all been in to meet him several times since he was appointed in the government reshuffle a few months ago. So there is definitely discussion, consultation going on. I suppose the frustration comes from the time it takes. We've been talking about this for several years. There was a report in 2015 already acknowledging that that there is too high a burden on farm assets and other small business assets and that they can't return the kind of charges that are really applied to them for nursing home care. And we've known that for more than 2 years now, and the changes are not in place. So that's what people want to see happen now and, you know, make it real.
So just to sum up, the stage we're at now is that there is legislation coming down the pipeline. It'll have to be approved by Cabinet. And then when it goes through, will there be a further time lag before it actually comes into place?
There will, because the scheme is regulated by primary legislation. So it has to go through the Oireachtas, especially the Dáil, for final approval. And nothing can change until that legislation is updated. So it has to, you know, be given a time slot in the Dáil, in the Seanad, and be a signed agreement. And a possibility there is that the debate could be dragged on a bit if people try to get more out of the government. You know, if they find the 3-year cap is not enough, or they raise other issues associated with the scheme. We've heard a lot of discussion last year about the additional charges. The Fair Deal scheme covers the basics when you're in a nursing home, but a lot of homes charge extra for newspapers and entertainment and things like that. And if this becomes part of the discussion, it could take another while. So there will be a lot of work, especially on the part of rural TDs who are involved in this discussion, to keep it focused and get it over the line as soon as possible.
So it is complicated. There'll be more twists and turns. But from your reading of things, the scheme should go, this latest legislation should help to protect family farms to a greater extent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Knowing that, you know, you won't have the risk of the full value of the farm being swallowed up by nursing home charges, and a younger person having the knowledge that at least 80% of the land will be protected from those costs and passed over to them, would allow them to plan and take over the farm, even if there is an unplanned need for nursing home care for their elder parent or somebody they're hoping to take over from. So that would give a lot of certainty to those families.
I'm speaking with Thomas Hubert, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Coming up to Christmas, Thomas, you were writing about the renewable heat incentive that is going to be before us shortly. And of course, there was a lot of controversy about the cash for ash controversy in Northern Ireland. But we're going to have a scheme here which one would hope will be more straightforward without all the negative sides that the one in the north had. But the bottom line is this is going to be a subsidy to promote various green energy related things, and in particular the use of biomass and biogas boilers, and there'll be an incentive for farmers.
There will be, though. The incentive is really for the user of heat. So if you are a farmer with say a pig farm, a poultry farm, and you have a need to heat those houses yourself, those sheds, then you will benefit if you switch to greener energy sources, biomass or biogas. And the way it's going to work, we don't know the full details, but we know the basic outline of the scheme. It's going to be a payment for the amount of heat you produce. It will be tightly controlled because of the controversy you've mentioned in Northern Ireland. So you'll have to have, you know, a meter and inspections to check that you're actually producing the heat you're declaring and that it's actually used for a legitimate purpose, and then you will get a subsidy. Now, a lot of farmers wouldn't need the heat themselves, but other users will, whether they're hospitals or schools or hotels, and they will buy the biomass, and it's hoped that that's the way the benefits of the scheme will trickle down to farmers. There's a lot of work to be done before it's actually of benefit to the farmers who grow crops such as willows or miscanthus that could be used in those boilers, or those who are hoping to sell biogas from anaerobic digestion, because at the moment there isn't really a supply chain. And that was the problem when people started growing miscanthus a few years ago. There wasn't much of a market for it. So there are plans, for example, for Board Namoina to get involved. Hopefully some farmers groups as well will form and they will sign contracts. There's good hope for solid contracts. In over 15 years, you would know how much you're going to get for your crop and how much quantity is going to be sold, and there's going to be some kind of certainty over an amount of time that you can grow this crop safely and how much you're going to get for it. So if that whole chain comes into place, then there's good hope that yes, a number of farmers will benefit from selling those kind of fuels to the final users. And then if the final user is a farmer, pig or poultry farmer, all the better, or even horticulture farmers as well who need to heat their greenhouses.
Well, given the week that we're in and the bad weather that has swept across Ireland with various storms, if I mention solar projects, it's somewhat hard to envisage fields with solar panels in them producing electricity and even feeding into the national network. But already it's happening in Britain. There have been a number of English companies and others looking at Ireland. And I mean, let's face it, we are going to have solar projects here, even though it's something that's hard to imagine at this stage.
It is. That's different. It will be separate from the RHI, the renewable heat incentive. Electricity is going to be supported as well. The government has promised that, but it's further down the line, probably not until next year, that we'll know the details of the supports available for solar. There are two ways for farmers to get involved, either to sign a contract with a developer that would use their land, usually a couple of acres, to put solar panels in a significant size and plug into the grid. That's what really the government is looking at, kind of medium to large size projects. And the other option would be for farmers to use the vast number of sheds and houses, even their own homes, that have roof space available and produce energy on a smaller scale. But there are no plans at the moment to support that. And that's, I suppose, something farmers are a bit frustrated about, that all this potential to have a number of solar panels on your roof, or even smaller wind projects, just one wind turbine on your land, to help reduce your own bill and then sell the surplus to the national grid through the ESB. Technically, it's quite easy because you don't need a big connection. You don't need to bring new lines to a number of premises. Most ESB connections that are already in place to distribute electricity to the farm would be okay, would be strong enough to take some of it back. But the government is really focusing on larger scale projects and those that are in the hands of bigger developers. And there is a degree of frustration among farmers at the moment.
Interesting times ahead. Yes, certainly. What will the farm of 2050 look like? We'll wait and see. As always, many thanks for joining us, Thomas Hubert, and we wish you all the best for 2018.
You too, Chris. Thanks very much.
Thomas Hubert there, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Just time for the livestock prices and cattle prices. Strong demand. Steers making 4 euro to 4.05 euro a kilo. Heifers 4.10 euro to 4.15 euro a kilo. Young bulls R grade 4 euro a kilo. U grade 4.10 euro a kilo, and cows making 3.20 euro to 3.75 euro a kilo. Well, the sheep trade ended the year on a high, with the lambs trading on average from 4.90 euro a kilo to 5 euro a kilo. We'll have an update next week on the latest sheep trade. Well, that's it for this week's edition. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.